Kolb's Halvavah Shir for Ladies, Shara Bitochen, Wednesday afternoon, Dalid Tammuz. Okay, Kolb's Halvavah Shara Bitochen and the Psicha. The Psicha is an advertisement to telling us the benefits of Bitochen. He splits it into the spiritual benefits and then Olam Hazeh benefits. The spiritual benefits we just finished with. We're going to start today the Olam Hazeh benefits. Spiritual benefits was that number one was you always rely on something. The point was made in number one. You always rely on someone. You're relying on your boss. You're relying on protection. You're relying on your connections, you're relying on the shatchin, you're relying on the job placement person, you're relying on your neighbor. You always rely on somebody. So, number one teaches us to rely on Hashem, which is really the whole definition of bitachon. And with that cognizance that it's really up to Hashem, and therefore you're relying on the one that it's really up to, you're close to him, you're Shivis Hashem Lenegdi Samid. You get close to Hashem because he's always a part of your reality, and that cognizance that he's in charge of everything, that gufa makes you closer. And then he says, and you'll benefit from that. And there's no promise of success because we don't really know how to define success, but it's your best chance that you won't be subject to the things that go on, and you might get caught up in them because you don't have enough schusim to be saved. But as a spiritual benefit, as we call it, you're living with Hashem. The second spiritual benefit, and these are chashuv things. This is a musa sefer b'fnei atzmo. These things. The first one, like there are people who are handlers and askanim, and even if they mean well, but their whole lives are with people and how to manipulate people and how to get from people and how to use people. And even when they mean well, they don't over any surim, but they're not living with Hashem. They're playing chess. They spend their whole lives on a chessboard, and everybody, and they're moving the pieces around. They're handling. Number two is you're independent. When you rely on Hashem and you realize my yes, bus or we, so you're not afraid to, you're free of other people's values and you're free to live your own values. Hopefully you develop good values by coming to this class and other such good things. Number three, spiritual benefit number three is you have an unworried mind, so you're able to devote it to Avodas Hashem, whatever part of the day you have for that Avodas Hashem, or to think about Hashem, or to actually do mitzvahs. But you're not worried. People that are always worried about things, and then he brings down the alchemist, who we would think has the most unworried life possible, but he lists things he still has to worry about. You always have what to worry about. But if you manage to reach a madrega of bitachon and Hashem, which he will define in Perek Aleph as being unstressed, so then there's no side effects, and there's no materials that you have to still be worried about, and there's no inconsistency you have to be worried about, and there's no food you have to Hashem, obviously. Maybe not obviously in our world, but Hashem, obviously that covers everything. Number four was that the Boteach Hashem will use money as a kli for Avodas Hashem. Whether he has money or he doesn't have money. If he has money, he'll use it properly as a kli for Avodas Hashem. And if he doesn't have money, he'll use that situation to be Ovid Hashem, being Sumeach Pechelko, being relieved, that he doesn't have certain responsibilities that a person with money has. And number five was, which is similar to number four but not quite, that the Baal Bitachon won't let money is a very big, is all too often creates a kochi v'otzim yodi situation. But the Baal Bitachon, it won't do it. Money will not keep the person from falling into the trap. He or she will realize it's a pikadon from Hashem, and the male will be able to cope with its loss if it happens, and the money won't keep you from having bitachon in Hashem. The Baal Bitachon can overcome that. So the last two is really overcoming money issues, because that's a major part of our lives. Maybe the major part of our lives. Halavai should be the major part of our lives, not health. And therefore he deals with that in terms of bitachon. So the spiritual benefit is that money won't get in the way of your spiritual growth. Money or the lack of it. That's really putting number four and five together. And we'll start now the second list, which is list of benefits in Olam Hazeh. So the first one we're familiar with, because he said it already as a spiritual benefit. But now he's saying it as a physical benefit in Olam Hazeh, because it happens to be true. And that is, you're not stressed. And the leading cause of illness, they say, is stress. You look up studies, and stress is a Shalom Bayis issue, and stress is a children issue, and stress is a parent issue, and stress and being nervous and all the emotions that stress creates, whether it's resentfulness or jealousy or anger or just being on edge and kas and kina and nakama, it's all because you're stressed, what's going to be. So ach toelas habitochon ba'olam, in this world mehen, that's from them, meaning number one, menuchas halev. Min hadagos olamios, from worry. Baal Bitachon is calm. I outsourced it to Hashem. So ha'ashlechal Hashem yahavchal v'yichal kalecha. You have to do ishtadlus, yes, and you have to daven, yes, and you have to make sure you do mitzvahs, yes, and you have to do what you have to do. But you're not stressed. It's not in your hands. You're not stressed. It's not up to you. It's in the hands you have internalized. The Baal Bitachon has internalized, and it's in the hands of a higher power. So why isn't he stressed? We'll learn in Perek Beis why he's not stressed, because his higher power is benevolent and cares about you and only wants what's best for you, etc., etc., etc. That's what we'll learn in Perek Beis, why you're not going to be stressed when you have Bitachon in Hashem, because he's going to train us what to think about. Again, the workbook starts in Perek Aleph. Will train us how to not be stressed when having bitachon. Now, as I say, it's just an advertisement. If you have bitachon, you won't be stressed. Vashalva minidnud hanefesh, v'tzara, aggravation, l'chisaron ta'avoseho hagufius, because it's busy there, gufius, isn't it? If you're in pain because you don't have ruchnius dika qualities, then you have bechira. If it's something beyond your control in chanami, but if you have bechira, he's going to say in Perek Dalet, don't blame bitachon on your lack of making good choices in your bechira. In ruchnius, there's no bitachon. Ruchnius, you are saddled with a burden of making good choices. And then he goes on to explain that all we do is make the choices, but the actual opportunities are back in Hashem's court. Because we could have the best of intentions, and then it doesn't happen because the car broke down, or because I got sick and I wasn't able to do it. So that's already up to Hashem. But we'll learn about that. Walk around with a smile on his face, pleasant, calm, you know. I also wish I knew someone like that. כמו שכוסוב, ברוך הגבר שיפתח בהשם, אוי השם מבטחו. Again, we don't delve into the psukim that the Chazal Moses brings down. But if you have a text in front of you, and you look at this pasuk, and you say, wow, that means he's understanding the pasuk, that Baruch HaGever sheyiftach v'Hashem, Oy Hashem miftacho, he's understanding it. It's not a promise about the future. Baruch HaGever means you'll live a blessed life. Your life will be pleasant and gishmak and calm and optimistic. And according to studies, you won't get sick as often. You'll have good relationships. This is all totsa'os of not being stressed. So you're baruch. That's how he's learning the word baruch. V'amar v'yokei chosel al mayim solidity al yuval yishalach sharoshav. Okay, that's number one. Number two, again, might sound a little funny to us, maybe, or maybe not. Throughout the Chol V'Shalvavos, again, you have to look at where, when he lived and where he's coming from. He looks at traveling and having to go nesiyot to make a living and having to go to far places as very devastating, very hard on the guf. Breaks down the guf. You don't have time to take care of things. You're traveling, you're not with your family. He looks at that as a, now maybe we're just more used to it, people, especially people who live in Israel and go to America. But Lamaisitz, they have their issues. So what does he want from us here? He wants that if you have bitachon and there's no promises ever, but you won't feel compelled. That's his point. The physical benefit number two is that you won't feel compelled, and this is not only true about traveling, this is true about a work, a job. If the work is 10 hours, a job that makes you or your husband or anybody dysfunctional in the family, you won't feel, but I have to take this job, I don't have a parnasa otherwise. You won't feel that way. If it's, maybe you have to talk it over with a rav or a mentor, but if it's bad for you, if it's dysfunctional, if it makes you not be able to function, in the Chayvus HaLovus's world, that was traveling for a living. And to a certain degree, it's also pretty, it has not such good effects now either if you have to travel. I know, even when we take a vacation, we then need a vacation to recover from the vacation. But that's what his point is. His point is, so you say, but what about a person that can't find a job, and the only job he can find is if he travels to Tel Aviv, the Halbitzara, that's already cool, Tel Aviv, beyond. What about such a person? He's not talking, that's not his point. He's not making promises. The person knows if he has bitachon or not. He's making the following statement at number two. The Baal bitachon won't feel compelled to take just a job because of a panic attack. Oh my God, I don't have a job. I better take this job because there's no other job. If you make a cheshbon, this is a good job. If you follow, let's say, the Chazal Moses' criterion, later on we'll learn you're good at it, you have job satisfaction, and you enjoy doing it, and it's constructive, you're helping, you're doing something constructive for the world. Then, so you make a cheshbon, and you may choose to do the job because it seems like a good opportunity, but you won't feel compelled because you're in a panic. That's point number two. That's all he's saying. But if you know people and you know situations, that's a lot. Umehen, number two, menuchas hanefesh mileches bederachim harachokim, traveling because you have no choice. That's it. Asher himachale agufos, which is physically destructive, umamaheres hashlomos yimei hachayim, says, you know, it takes years off your life. It's very, it's not good for your guf. Kmo shenemar ino baderech kolchi kitzar yomoi. Brings on a pasuk in Tehillim. V'nemar alecha ben aprushim, tells one of his apocryphal stories. He decided he's going to live a very abstinence lifestyle, but he still has to make parnosa, so he goes to a faraway place. And the mechad he meets an idol worship of the ear. You fool, you're blind. You're worshiping an idol. You're worshiping an Elil, Amaloi Ho'amgushi, that's how such people are referred to. Uma Ta'ovet, who's your God? Amaloi Ha'porsh, what are you talking? Ani Ovet Ha'borei, Ha'yachol, Ha'machalkel, Ha'echad, Ha'matrif, Asherein Kamohu, Mamish, Mamish. Goes through the whole litany, Ha'kel, Ha'godol, Ha'gibor, Ha'no'ra. She says, that's very nice, but just tell me something. What are you doing here, a couple of hundred miles from home? Amoyo amgushi pa'olecha, your action soseres dvarecha, which is another good sentence to put on the refrigerator. Pa'olecha soseres dvarecha, actions speak louder than words. Your actions contradict your words. Amoyo parshvaycha, what are you talking about? Amoyo, if you believe what you're saying, ilumasho marto emes, so your Hashem can't give you parnosa. In your city, what are you doing here so far from home? You wouldn't, if not for your. See, this is the nakuda, and you have to be honest with yourself. If not because you think there's no other eitzah, help, and this is destructive for you. Not it's b'di'eved, and you want to hold out for the lachatchila. I don't know that you have to discuss if that warrants holding out for the lechatchila. Maybe Hashem. Now, sometimes Hashem wants you to travel and have these things, and you're forced to do it, but you're not doing it out of a sense of helplessness or panic. Hashem has his ways of erlich, you know, he maneuvers you into doing things, and you know, people have different sources of parnasa. And sometimes part of the Nisyonos Achayim is that it's difficult. But when you're faced with a choice, don't make a choice out of panic, because, oh my goodness, what's going to be? V'lo yisa toriach lovo l'eretz v'choka kazos. V'nivsa katayna saporush. He was dumbfounded. He didn't have what to answer. V'shov la'artso v'kibu la'prishus m'naysahi v'lo yotso me'ira achar kach. And he took it to heart. That's how the story ends. So that's number two. So we'll call number two, you won't take a parnosa or really do anything. But again, parnosa is like the Chavos is, that's how he talks, that's what he talks about when he wants to talk about life and living. You won't do things that make you dysfunctional. That's how I would write it down. You won't take something that is debilitating to your goof, debilitating to your family, debilitating to your relationships, because you're panicked. That's what number two is saying. So that's benefit number two in Olam Hazeh. Umehen, number three is the same idea, that you won't take a job that's detrimental, but you're doing it out of panic. Menuchas ha-nefesh v'ha-guf, v'ha-maisim ha-koshim. There he talked about travel, now he's talking about things that are just replaced by back-breaking labor, something that, you know, you don't really want to do. It's hard work, it's not, you don't have the constitution for it. Ba'amalochas ha-miyagos ha-sargufos ba'azov ha-vodos ha-malochem b'chukeyem b'chamas ha-nasheyem. That's being a politician. Someone put that in parentheses. I guess they knew there was an election coming up. You won't become a politician. You won't be a... You won't hang around. You won't do things that are not really, you know, that are not, that you don't really feel like doing because you panicked. Habotech Bashem, utoveh misibul saterif, Ma sheyesh bo yosef menucha legufo b'shem tovlo. You say, I'm b'teach b'shem, I'm holding out for a job that will, that is, won't break me, and that will not give me a bad reputation because of who I have to associate with. You don't have to be afraid. You say, but if I don't take this job, I won't get any other job. The Baal B'tochen does not think that way. Sometimes Hashem wants you to have unpleasant work. Look, you leave that up to Hashem to maneuver you into that situation, and then you have to deal with it. But that you should make that choice because you think you have no other choice is not the mindset of a Baal B'tochen. So that's number three. Two and three is really the same. It's just in two he was specific of traveling, and in three he talks about anything that would get you an unsavory reputation or would be bad for you physically. It's the work. Maybe you're working in a place with, like he talked about, the alchemist with fumes or unsanitary conditions, etc. B'shem tovlo upanai lalibo. That's very, in modern day parlance, we say it has space. It doesn't take over your life. You're not forced to make your job into your life. That's not good. So panat libo, you have space. Umashu hu mapik yoser lechovus toroso im yeser umanoso, and it allows you to fulfill your obligations towards Hashem. To Torah, for a man, it means it leaves him time to learn. For a woman, it leaves her time to do her obligations and her mitzvahs. And now he says something that here he just throws it out, but we'll be learning, we're going to build up all of the things here that maybe you're bothered by and have questions. He's really going to deal with when he deals with bitachon. We're not dealing with bitachon yet. He's just, as I said, he's just giving you bullet points why you should want to learn about bitachon. But now he says like such a wonderful sentence, Ki hatziba, the siba, meaning the channel through which Hashem is channeling your parnasa, lo tosef lo b'chuko, lo techasreu mimenu mu'uma, you won't get any money from it, and you won't be lacking any money because it's not such a good channel. Ela b'gzeiros o elokim yisbarach. It's not. It's all the same to Hashem. It's all the same, and everything is being channeled from Hashem, and that's where your focus should be. And yes, you do your hishtadlus, but you know that your money is not coming from there. So, one of the things I'll be saying many times as we learn through Shaar Bitachon is that Bitachon is really, you say, but what about this case and what about that case? And, you know, it's not like that, Bitachon. What am I talking about? It's not like, okay, how many pounds of flour do I take challah with a bracha from? And I can answer 2.3. And without a bracha, don't listen to these numbers. And 4.4 with a bracha. And what about if I, and what about if I bench lech? And, you know, these are chovos or evarim. That's, in the chovos' world, that's kid stuff. It's important. I don't mean chas v'shalom to minimize that you have to ask a shayla, but it's kid stuff. The real battleground of life is in chovos halavavos, and you can ask a shayla, but the answer really is in your own heart. When you, right, I'm going to say something now. You're not going to believe me, but if you stick it out in the class and you work on yourselves, just as I have to work on myself, you'll see what I'm saying is true. If you develop bitachon, and of course, you know, that's a spectrum in itself. In other words, if you develop the ideas, internalize the ideas, and believe the ideas that he talks about as he goes through his sha'ar, which is how to develop bitachon, which we didn't start yet. But if you do it, and you practice it, and you unplug the iPod a little, and you think about things, and you're contemplative, 90% of your bitachon questions, you will answer. You will know the answer. Your soul will know the answer. Your heart will know the answer. You will know if such a pu'ula is an exhibition and a manifestation of a lack of bitachon, or it's just what you think you should be doing. And it's a, whether you or not you call it a shtadlus, or the shtadlus is not like a rubber stamp to say mutter. We can stamp it hishtadlus. You know in your heart, you will know, you'll see that you know yourselves. I'm not really trusting Hashem. I'm not really relying on Hashem, because if I would be relying on Hashem, I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing. And you'll the answer will lie in your own hearts, because you will know the answer, because you will be cognizant. It will be real to you, just like that Hashem knows everything that's going on in your life, that Hashem loves you and only wants what's best for you, that Hashem knows what's best for you more than anything else, more than anyone else in the world, including yourself, that no one can stop Hashem from doing something that he wants to do, that nobody can do anything if it's not Hashem's will, and so on and so forth. When you internalize these things, then you're faced with a decision, you know, which airline should I take, you know? So I'll take this one, and you know it's not being pole game in your bitachon. Or if it is, or you know you're not holding there yet. There's no point in acting out bitachon if your heart is turning somersaults and pounding, and you're stressed, and you're scared, and you're stressed. So you say, oh, but I gotta have bitachon, and I heard Rabbi Luna would say that if you have bitachon, you'll go on Turkish Airlines. There's no such thing. There's no point. Maybe it's true, but you're not doing it if you go on Turkish Airlines and your heart's pounding because you're scared. So there's no mitzvah to go on Turkish Airlines. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah Pesach night, even if you don't think about Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not ideal, but it's a mitzvah. You're doing the mitzvah. That's the Chodos Eivorim. You do it. A man puts on tefillin. He doesn't even know why he's putting on tefillin. He doesn't know what tefillin represents. He hasn't thought about it. We give the credit card swipe to the mezuzah. You swipe the mezuzah, and it's the entry price. You know, the mitzvah mezuzah is not to kiss it. I don't want to spoil anybody's... it's to have it. The mitzvah is not to kiss it. The kissing is a... you're really putting your hand on it to remind you that it's there. Then you're kissing it to show kavod to it. But the mitzvah is to have it. And it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And it's a declaration of faith, like Kriya Shema. It is Kriya Shema. And it's on the door of your house. And that's very meaningful, especially to a woman, because it's your house. You're the bias, it's your house. And you have the mezuzah, and it's really a declaration of faith that everything in this house is dedicated to the proposition that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's beautiful, but most people, they never thought about the mezuzah. They thought about what kind of case to get. It should match the decor with the living room furniture. Not the oilam here, not this oilam. Baruch Hashem. That's Chayvus Halavavos. There's no point taking Turkish Airlines if you're scared. If you're scared, so you're not doing anything constructive. You're not exhibiting bitachon. Sometimes, and we'll be learning about that, in order to climb a ladder, so you have to go to the rung that you're not up to yet, because you have to climb the rung. So you have to like memorize and keep repeating a mantra, maybe. Hashem is taking care of me, Hashem is taking care of me, Hashem is taking care of me. And you know, you're not fully, it's not in your heart yet, but you want to try something out. You want to go out of your box. What was your lotion to Mrs.? He said, you have to go out of your comfort zone. That was your lotion, beautiful lotion. You want to go out of your comfort zone sometimes because you want to grow and you want to climb. So, but that's little baby steps. It's baby steps. Okay, so his point is here. So he will realize that the Siba, this is it, the channel is not what's giving him Parnassa. And, I could say that sentence 1,000 times, but we don't live that way. we, I, you, nobody, it's very hard. Bitachon is tough, because everything we do, and we're allowed to do, and we're supposed to do, and we're even mechuyev to do, mitigates, if we're not really careful, it mitigates against bitachon. Because if it's Hashem, so why do I have to do what I'm doing? And I punched that guy in the nose, and his nose bled. So who made his nose bleed? Me, obviously. It's not obvious, right? There's a higher power that decided he should have a broken nose. I made a bad choice, Bechira, that's a complicated Indian. But the point is, the world, newspapers, everything is really mitigates, because Hashem's invisible, and Hashem is behind the scenes, and Hashem is manipulating everything, and Hashem has the master computer that's deciding who should live where and who should have what in their lives in order to maximize their potential and maximize their nisyonos and their relationships. I mean, it's very complicated. Don't try to be Hashem. It's like very, very complicated. So, but this is the sentence that's for sure true. Asiba is not what's giving you parnasa. And as I say a thousand times, because it's true, really bitachon is being in touch with reality. That's, I say it so many times, and I can't help it, it's true. It's not a frumkeit, not like a midas chasidus. When people say to you, you got to live in the real world, so you say, Rabbi Milinowitz told us that the real world is the world of having bitachon. Because the real world is the world in which Hashem runs things, and we're aware that Hashem runs things. That's the real world. The fake world is that this guy did something, and this person did something, and that nation did something, and this person caused me to have this, and this person caused me. That's the fake world. The real world is that Hashem is doing everything, using all these things as puppets and channels. It's hard. We don't see instant gratification many times. We see a lot of times a world of Tzadik Baralo and Rosh of Atovlo. So that's all part of, it's difficult. That's why life is a challenge. That's why we're living, to overcome these nisyonos and to live with Hashem and to realize it. And you say, wait a second, the Chayyim Zalbov said my best chance of having a geshmaka life the way I would want it is to have bitachon. So that, yeah, that's legitimate. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is writing the Hakdama for. Elabugzeres alakim kumashinam kolomi motzo man rab lomi midbar harim kilekim shofez ayashpil b'zayirim ve'omay benolstashi yarbitseini amay menuchos inaaleini umeihem is back in the parnoso miutzar nafsho b'mischaro. Right, you know, if you know people who have a business, they're always aggravated. They're always stressed. He gives a very interesting, you know, it's all the same. Nakuda says, what do you do with your inventory? You have too much inventory or too little inventory? In Pesachim Vessel Pragmatia, if his inventory builds up, it's a slow month. He looks at his computer, he looks at his charts. He goes, oh my, I didn't move enough schayra this month. Oh, I'm lo yuchal ligvo scholvo. He has too many accounts, too much accounts receivables. Om yifkayu choli begufo, or if he gets sick, he doesn't get aggravated. It may hurt his sickness, but he doesn't get aggravated. He's not, you know, people go nuts, they jump out windows, the stock crashed, they jump out windows, they snap. They think their stockbroker, they yell at their stockbroker. They come home, they yell at their wives, or you come home, you yell at your husband, as if it's his fault, as if it's her fault, as if it's the stockbroker's fault. He says, what? Midneshu yodeya, the Baal Bitochon knows, ki abori yuzborech mesakein in yono yoser mimenu. Hashem is giving you, it's an operation. This is part of what a Baal Bitochon has to understand. If bad things happen, so to speak, it's so to speak. It's like having an operation. So you say, oh my goodness, the guy's cutting out stuff from my body. a Russia, Meshugana, help. But you're very happy you're on the operating table and he's cutting stuff out of your body. This is such a beautiful sentence. These are all famous, famous sentences. Hashem chooses for you what's tov better than what you would pick for yourself, because you don't know. People want instant gratification. People want pleasure. People don't want what's good. They want what feels good and what's pleasurable, and they want instant gratification. Right? And now we're living in the modern world where instant gratification is like limited to 2-3 minutes. Anything that takes longer than 2-3 minutes, it's not for me. Taka, instant gratification. Hashem is Bocher. The Baal Bitochon knows. Now we're going to learn about this. We're going to learn how to realize it and how to develop it and what to think about. And it's all coming, because this is part of developing Bitochon. Now he's just throwing out, as I said, bullet points. The Baal Bitochon knows that Hashem is choosing, right? Hashem is choosing for me if a person doesn't have a job for a while, or with Shiduchim, or with Hashem is choosing for me the best life that's for me. I have to overcome Sionos, maybe. Hashem did not give. Do we realize the import of something that every woman in this room knows? But you ever stop and think about it? Hashem did not give the Imahos children so that they should grow in their davening. We all know that, right? Hashkodesh Baruch Hu Mesaveh L'Tfilos Anshei Tzadikim. Can you imagine what that means? I mean, hey, I'm sorry, Imenu. Hey Hashem, I'm like Sora, Avram's wife. I'm a Geyer of Hanoshim. You know, I went with Avram Lech Lecha. I don't get any credit. Everybody knows Avram Lech Lecha. Hey, what about Sora? She had a pack. At least in my family, she would have to pack. And she's not having children. And years go on. And it's for the purpose of. I'm sure she davened for children, and I'm sure she didn't daven in 2 minutes because the cake was in the oven, right? But Hashem wanted her to grow in her davening, and Hashem is the native. If you ask anybody, you know, I'm moichel on the steiging and davening Hashem. I want a kid already. It's so hard for me. It's so painful, and all my friends have kids, and it's so painful. But Hashem knows what's better for me more than what I know is good for me. And when you grow in your davening, you have been kona something that's la'olam voed, nitzchius. I don't even know what I'm talking about, right? Because I'm sure she davened before. And it was sorry, Menu. And she was sorry, Menu, before. And she davened before. Hashem, we are told by Chazal, kept her childless. So maybe, you know, maybe Hashem wants me to daven better. Maybe it's a simple, you know. Maybe it's as painfully simple as that. It's not unheard of. He left the Imos childless for years, for decades, so that they should grow in their davening. So, boy, that's not fair. You know, that's why we have to change the way we think. We have to realize that success in life is ruchniyistik of success. It's not gashmiyistik of success. It's not even having children. And I'm talking to women. It's not even having children. It's not success. Success is kurva l'Hashem. You have to be ready to hear that. Everybody, every Jew, every guy also, but I'll settle for the Jews. I'll let the guy worry about themselves. Every Jew has to be ready to hear this. It's a painful truth sometimes, because we are so connected to this world, and it's so hard. We don't have any conception of Olam Haba. We don't. So some of us will talk about that. We can't conjure up in our minds an image of Olam Haba. That makes it tough. The truth is, we're not supposed to be doing things because of Olam Haba. But like, whoa, that's who's talking about that Madrega, right? I'll settle for doing things for Olam Haba. I'll settle for doing things so that I don't get punished. So that's it, you know. And he did it to Sarah. And he did it to Rachel. what it says in Sfarim about Chana, it says in the Ramban about Rachel. Rachel turns to Yaakov and says, you know, how come you're not davening for me? He says, what do you mean I daven for you every day? You know, what are you talking about? She says, I don't see you fasting. I don't see you wearing sackcloth. I don't see you screaming at Hashem, crying to Hashem. You know, you look happy, you know. I don't have children and you're happy, huh? Because you have children with Leah. I thought you loved me. Right? This is the Ramban. I'm saying over Ramban. I'm not preparing for a Broadway play, you know. And then Yaakov, like, you know, he answered Atachas Elokim Anochi, which was not good. Hashem, he shouldn't have answered that. He should have just kept it. He answered her something. Atachas Elokim Anochi, Hashem, what do you want from me? Hashem's not giving you children. And he shouldn't have answered that. If someone's heart's breaking, Chazal tell us, it's not a time for Musa Shmuz. I mean, again, I'm saying it because Chazal say it. We're talking about Yaakov Avinu, and he knew what he was doing. And the Ramban says Hashem wanted her to daven. He didn't want her to go to Yaakov and say, daven for me. He wanted her to daven. The Sforim say the same thing about Chana with Elkanah. That her mistake was in telling Elkanah to daven for her. Hashem wanted her to daven. Well, what's wrong? You daven. Well, you're farming out the davening. You're going to a Rebbe to daven for you? You can go to a Rebbe for a bracha. Or you can go to a Rebbe or a gadol to daven for you because it helps, hopefully, maybe. But it doesn't pater you, nothing to do with you. You have to daven for yourself. And that's what Hashem did to Rachel, and he did it to Sarah, and he did it to Rivka. It's unbelievable. So we don't know. He says, Hashem knows what's good for you. Commotion, and you know, yes.
So here's the question. If you have to be tough on, then you're going to know that what Hashem does for you is good. Okay. So if you're put in a situation that feels bad, should you be broken and begging Hashem to change it?
It's a very good question.
Happy and confident that he's doing what's best and he's going to always do what's best.
Both. If a person's ill, doesn't have enough money, or has other issues in their lives, and we know, I can say, we daven refa'enu, please Hashem heal me. I don't see any bracha, Hashem, please make me sick. We don't daven, please make me sick, if that's what's good for me. We don't daven like that. We know what objectively is the way. When Hashem brings sorrows upon us for a good reason, that's always b'di'evet. It's because the world is not functioning the way it should. It's because I'm not functioning the way I should. So Hashem's performing an operation. But we know the ideal. We know that without an operation, it's good not to need an operation. If you need an operation, so an operation is gevaldik. So I daven to Hashem. Hashem, give me parnasa, give me health, give me children, give me good children. I am davening for all these things, and I'm having bitachon. Life is not like that. Life is what it is. So how does the Baal Bitachon cope with situations that are unpleasant? He pulls out his bag of tricks, or her bag of tricks. He says, I know this is for the best. I accept what Hashem did. Now, accepting doesn't mean don't daven. See, Rachel Imenu didn't say, I guess Hashem doesn't want me to have children. Okay. You don't say that. You keep a space in your mind, a room in your mind, where if nothing works, a woman's supposed to have children. A man's supposed to have children. So you keep a space in your mind where if you don't, I always say about Eliezer, you know, he said, Avram said, don't worry. Avram says to him, go get a shidduch for my son. And he says, let's say the woman doesn't want to go with me. Right? Look at the Chumash. So Avram says, Oy, Hashem, Asher lokachani mi beis avi, Asher diber li, Asher nishba li. Lamor, Hashem is with me. I'm living with Hashem. I'm relying on Hashem. Hu yishlach malocho lefonecha. He will certainly, I'm totally convinced, and I'm so sure, that Hashem will send his malach, and you will find a wife for Yitzchak. Right? A ringing declaration of bitachon. Now look at the next pasuk. And if not, that's the next pasuk. And if not, so you're free from the shvua, come back home, and we'll go to plan B. And that is, we're going to be learning about this. But that's the answer. The answer is this plan A and this plan B. The Baal Bitachon is never unhappy, never rails against Hashem. Tefillah is not railing against Hashem. How dare you not give me any children? Chana came close. That's what Chazal say. Chana came right up to the edge of yelling at Hashem. Right? Chana hiticha dvarim klapi maila. She came right up to that line. You know, right there. Of course. But that's what it is. It's like Avraham Avinu, and he said it twice. And look at Eliezer. You know, he found Rivka, and she said, "Yeah, I'm a relative." And Gamalecha Ashke, and then he bowed down and he thanked Hashem, and he said Hashem's name, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, whatever he said. Not Elokei Yisrael, okay. He said Baruch Hashem, Hashem, you're wonderful. I love you. Ah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And, but then when he's talking to them, he says, you know, and if you don't want to give me Rivka, tell me, I'll put plan B into effect. We don't know. We never know. We work and we daven and we accept what Hashem does as good. And now the Chodesh Halvavos, it's not easy because the Chodesh Halvavos demands that we be happy about it. Which is like, oh man. You know, let Hashem be happy that I didn't become an apikoros. You know? That's what we think. But the Chodesh demands that we be happy, that we realize Hashem is doing what's best for us. But you are never supposed to stop wanting. That's the game you have to play. That's what you have to juggle. I want a job. I'm dominating for a job. I have bitachon. I'm going to get a job. I'm doing my yishtadlus to get a job. And there's a place in the mind that says, and if I don't, what Avraham Avinu said, the imlo yitnu lach, and if not. And he was so, like, that's such a beautiful pasuk. Hashem, who took me out of my father's house. They're like, it's so ringing. And like, you want to stand up and cheer and applaud. Like, Avraham Avinu, like, who yishlach malocha lefanecha? And then the next pasuk, the imlo. That's what a Jew has to be able to do. Okay.